Here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for them, because we're going to be discussing today a very important war. And, of course, what the outcome of that war was because of a group of people in a place in Middle Texas. And right now, just I want to discuss a little bit about wars. Wars are terrible things. The First World War changed the world forever with a revolution in Austria-Hungary and Germany and the Ottoman Empire and Russia. None of those countries were ever the same. Their empires were lost, and even England, which supposedly was on the winning side, began to move away from freedom towards socialism, as did Italy as a result of the First World War. And the Second World War had a devastating effect on the world, 55 to 60 million people killed. The world really changed forever, as now we had the United Nations formed. We had ever more power given unto government. Korea gave us a feeling of hopelessness, as if you couldn't win wars anymore. Vietnam was a no-win war. Gave us Medicare and the social welfare state, and changed America forevermore. And as we focused our attention on what was happening in East Asia, why we lost our freedom here at home. But there's been another war that's been fought, and it's been going on for 20 years. Most people don't even think about it. It's the war in the Sudan, and this has been a terrible and bloody war, and it's devastated both the Muslim North and the Christian South. But something has actually happened that's changed that, and we're going to be talking today to George Neumauer, and he has written a fascinating article for the American Spectator magazine. George, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you happened to write this story about Texas and the impact this town in Texas had on a battle that had gone on for 20 years?
Well, I heard about it through human rights activists in Washington, D.C. Our offices are in the Washington, D.C. area. And they said that a small group in Midland, Texas, which is the hometown of George Bush, this group had been playing a behind-the-scenes role in the Sudanese peace talks. So that piqued my interest. It sounded like an intriguing story. And so I went down to Texas, and I met with members of this group. And I discovered that, this group has been playing a behind-the-scenes role in the Sudanese peace talks. They've been talking, in fact, directly to the government of Sudan, meeting with the Sudanese ambassador in Washington, D.C., and sending letters to his superiors in Khartoum. And they've also been talking to the Christian rebels. They've been talking to John Garang, who's the head of the Christian rebels. In fact, John Garang was in Midland, Texas about three weeks ago, meeting with this group. Along with several other Christian groups in America, the Midland Ministerial Alliance has been increasing the White House's interest in this issue and thereby increased the likelihood of peace in that country, because George Bush has been making peace in the Sudan a priority, which is manifest in the fact that he sent John Danforth, the former governor of Missouri, to the Sudan earlier this week to finalize the peace accord there. Because of that, this 20-year war might come to an end.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with George, and I think you'll find this a fascinating and rather heartening story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is George Neumauer, and we're going to be talking about the ministers in Midland, Texas. And, you know, it's the most amazing story. Talk about a bluff. Here is a group of ministers in this out of the general focus of things, place in Texas, right in the middle of the sort of the flatlands of Texas, who wrote a letter to the government of the Sudan, and in essence they said, if you don't get this situation straightened out over there in the Sudan, we're going to go to our most famous person who's lived in Midland, Texas, and his name is George Bush, and if you don't get this straightened out, we're going to go to the President of the United States. So why did you pick up the story from there, George? Because we now have a new group of people listening who didn't hear your preliminary remarks. Go right ahead. If you happen to be repetitive, go right ahead.
That's right. In March of 2003, the Midland Ministerial Alliance wrote a letter to the government of Sudan saying that they would put political pressure on their friends at the White House and in Washington, D.C. to monitor peace negotiations in the Sudan and enforce, take steps to enforce those negotiations unless, you know, the government there really worked towards creating a just peace with the Christians in southern Sudan. And that letter, which had on its letterhead Midland, Texas, the hometown of George Bush, really got the attention of the Islamic government in Khartoum. And I know this for a fact because the ambassador, the Sudanese ambassador in Washington, D.C., told me that Sudan's foreign minister urged him to talk with, as he put it, people from George Bush's village.
And so they did, and they contacted the people. And this is a ministerial alliance. This is an alliance of the Catholic minister, Catholic priests, and of the Protestant ministers who got together and said, we're going to do something. Over 2 million people are dead, and nobody's doing anything. And so they really have had an impact on the negotiations that have been taking place in Kenya over this last, 6 months or a year?
They've been, I know for a fact that they have been in communication with the Kenyan peace negotiator. In fact, they've been in communication with all of the parties to the negotiations. They've not only the government in Khartoum, but also the John Garang, who's the head of the Christian rebel group called the Sudan People Liberation Army. John Garang was in Midland, Texas, about 3 weeks meeting with this group. They've also been in contact with the State Department officials who've been going over to the Sudan.
Hold that thought for just a moment, please, George.
Okay.
All right. Our guest today is George Neumauer, and we're talking about the negotiations that are taking place to end the war in the Sudan. Now, this war has been going on since 1983. At least 2 million people killed, predominantly Christians and the animists living in the south. But this has devastated the economy of the entire nation, and certainly the economy of the north is extremely poor. They're dependent now upon oil. But of course, the oil flow keeps getting disrupted because of the war in the south. So, but the most exciting things have really happened in this last few weeks. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the peace negotiations and what, at least so far, has been the result of those negotiations, which the ministers from Midland, Texas, at least, have played a casual role?
Well, one major breakthrough happened last week when the Islamic government and the southern rebels reached a wealth-sharing agreement. They agreed to split oil revenues 50-50. And so this wealth-sharing agreement over oil is seen as a major step towards finalizing the peace agreement between the North and the South. There's also been some progress made on power sharing. There's been an agreement that the new government in Khartoum after the peace accord would include as vice president John Garang, the head of the Christian rebels, and there'd also be substantial representation for southern Sudanese leaders in the parliament in Khartoum.
And, of course, you could do several things. You could divide the country into two parts. The trouble was that the Christians get all the oil in the south, and the northerners would never accept that. Or you could, of course, let the northerners dominate it and then, of course, continue killing the people in the south. But they appear to have come to really what would be a very justifiable solution to the problem. And this, I think, is one of the biggest pieces of news. We just haven't been hearing very much about it here in the United States, though. Have you heard this elsewhere other than your own private research?
No, the reporting on all this is very limited. You can find stories, but you really have to watch the international news wires pretty carefully. The mainstream media in this country has generally ignored the issue of Sudan.
Well, now, how is it that the people there, the ministerial alliance in Midland, Texas, really got involved in this? Didn't they have a number of the churches there had sister churches in the southern Sudan, and so their attention was really focused on this part of the world, this tragic part of the world?
That's right. There, yeah, two reasons. One is, as you say, Midland churches have sister churches in southern Sudan. And the second reason is that 2 years ago, Midland was the host city for the International Day for the Persecuted Church. And an event was held in Midland which attracted Sudanese exiles who came and spoke to the people of Midland and described to the people of Midland the atrocities in Sudan. And this event really shocked the city into action on this issue. And Midland, being a city of scriptural Christianity, takes very seriously the gospel's call to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, and to also take into account the suffering church wherever it exists, on the theory, on the idea that if part of the church is suffering, the whole church is suffering.
And, of course, as you wrote your article about this whole issue, you went a little bit into the theology that exists there, that they seem to retain that theology of fundamental of Christianity and concern that seems to have escaped most of the rest of the country. Midland, Texas is out of the middle of nowhere, 100,000 people, almost completely separated from the rest of the country, and yet they've maintained their values that the rest of us have forgotten.
That's right. They've pretty much rejected, I would say, the sort of secularized Christianity that you see in urban areas, you know, where Christian leaders have basically secularized their faith, reduced their faith to just sort of secular liberalism. That hasn't happened in Midland, Texas. It's a city that has a scriptural and fundamental doctrinal approach to Christianity, and so that accounts for their missionary outlook. They really think it's important to spread the gospel to the world, and because they believe, you know, Christianity is true, and that Scripture is true.
And you say that there's all sorts of signs there, like park and pray, or the devil is dead, or all sorts of, every place you look, why there's some reflection of the Christian influence in that community. Is that correct?
Yeah, and most, yeah, it's Christian small-town America, and Christianity are open. In fact, in front of George Bush's childhood home, on the curb, outside the home, you can see a small painting of the Holy Ghost, and so that's characteristic, I think, of the town. It's not afraid to, it's not hiding its light under a bushel basket.
And here are ministers who are willing to take a stand and really get involved. Not simply what's happening at locally with the bingo games and the local raffles and money raising and church building, but one of the great tragedies of modern times.
Right. Yeah. It's a Christianity that's recognizes that human rights abuses are real and they're happening all over the world, and unless Christians do something about it, those abuses will just continue to fester and create disorder in the world.
Well, as we've also often say here on Radio Liberty, that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if we sit back and do nothing, knowing that terrible things are going on in the world, then we bear responsibility for it, especially when many of these things are being provoked by policies our government has invoked. Now, of course, right now the government appears to be doing the right things. We've had an embargo on Sudan for quite some time. Hasn't that embargo actually hurt the economy of that nation?
It has, in the sense that a lot of U.S. companies that would have gone into Sudan and developed Sudan have not gone into the country and have been outside of the country for most of this 20-year civil war. So the sanctions have definitely damaged the economy of the country, and if the sanctions are lifted, the economy will rebound significantly.
And, of course, I think most people don't understand that that the Sudan is the largest landmass in all of Africa, the largest single country. There are not that many people in it, but it's got a tremendous landmass. And apparently there's a great deal of oil there, and won't certainly lifting the sanctions as a result of the peace result then in American oil companies going in and developing it and perhaps bringing a degree of prosperity to these poor, impoverished people?
Certainly, yeah. The U.S. companies, oil companies, I'm sure, are eager to enter the country and maximize the oil resources that have yet to be explored. And our technology, United States oil technology, will be applied to the resources there, and will no doubt expand its oil market substantially. And the Sudanese people will benefit. Will receive benefits from that, not only employment opportunities, but also the competition to drill oil in the Sudan will increase, and the Sudan will benefit from that.
And the world is just hungry for oil. In fact, China has actually been one of the largest investors in the Sudan in the past, and then, of course, was paying off the Sudanese government for the oil rights, and then they were using it to buy weapons of war to kill the Christians in the south. But, the trouble is that wars don't really accomplish anything. They just impoverish the people on both sides. And so often both the winners and the losers are worse off as a result of war. Wouldn't you say that's the case?
Right. I think both sides have come to that realization that there's really nothing to be gained for either side by continuing this self-defeating war. And I think they also realize that the Sudan, like many countries in the Horn of Africa, they're beginning to realize that it's better to be America's friend than its foe. Otherwise, your country could end up like Saddam Hussein's.
What part do you think that the prayers of the people of Midland, Texas, who are really united in this effort, what part do you think that may have played in really this amazing breakthrough, the agreement to share the oil revenues and share power in the Sudan?
Well, it certainly can't be discounted, because, certainly Scripture says that prayer is efficacious. And I know that the Christians in Midland, Texas, every single day they pray for George Bush. They meet and pray for the country and George Bush, and they also engage in fasting, which they believe is also efficacious.
Well, that, of course, was traditional. Part of the Christian belief was the importance of fasting. So this is really an amazing, amazing story. And you wrote this. It appeared in the American Spectator. When did it appear, and how can people get copies?
It's in the December-January issue of the American Spectator. And I would encourage your listeners to subscribe to our magazine, and they can get information about that at
1-800-524-3469.
And they can also check the Spectator out on the internet at spectator.org.
All right, fine. And of course, this is the sort of heartwarming story that we perhaps need a little bit more of to realize that people really can make a difference, and that I believe a prayer can make a difference. But you need people who are involved, and this is not the sort of story you're going to hear from the regular controlled media. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. When we do, we'll welcome your calls here at 464-8295 or at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I would love to hear from you, your thoughts or comments on what we're talking about today. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000. Alimax.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we want to mention some of the other items we carry here that, of course, we sell to try to finance what we do. One of them is the Berkey water filters, and we carry the big Berkey water filter, which is made out of attractive stainless steel. And you simply pour the water in the top, about 2.5 gallons. It comes out the bottom after going through filters that are ceramic and they're packed with activated carbon. And, you know, rather than putting your money into bottled water and things like that, this takes most of the pesticides and herbicides and bacteria and other cryptosporidium and other things out of your water. A very efficient means of getting water potable and safe for you. And, of course, this technique has been used for 150 years by missionaries all throughout the world. And you can take river water or pond water or lake water and filter through this, and of course you'll be in good shape. Wonderful to have when you're going on a camping trip, but also great to have around the house in case there is some sort of a natural emergency, because you get by without food, but you can't get by without water. You can see them up on our website, pictures of the Big Berkey and other water filters. That's radioliberty.com. The Big Berkey is $239.95 plus shipping. And if you buy it through us, you get a 4-tape set and or a video that we've actually produced. However, the Big Berkey is available in every state except California and Iowa. If you want to get something here on the West Coast, you can get the Berkey Light, which is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water level, and that has an advantage. And actually, we have a Berkey Light ourselves. And then, of course, the filters are, instead of the ceramic filters, they're black Berkey filters, and they work really much more efficiently than the ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. And of course, both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light are designed with special post filters to take fluoride out of your water, and you don't want to be drinking fluoride, believe me, ladies and gentlemen. Fluoride is dangerous to your health. In fact, it is a fluoride molecule that's the active ingredient in Prozac. So if you'd like to know more about either one of these items, go to our website or call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is George Neumauer, and of course, he is written an article for the American Spectator about Midland, Texas, and this is sort of, you know, the way the world used to be, isolated really from the rest of the world, a town of about 100,000, where people hold their Christianity very close to them. They haven't gone into the foot-stamping type of a new seeker-friendly church that gets everybody into church and, you know, changes the message and the music of the churches. No, they've stuck pretty much with the same old techniques, the same old message that's been around since the beginning of America. But even more than that, there are people who are involved. And they're not only involved in Midland, Texas. They're involved in what has actually happened in the Sudan. And one of the most exciting things that's happened is, they say, within the last 2 weeks, the peace accord has been signed, and with God's blessing, perhaps they can end this terrible and disastrous war. So what do you hear back there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the most interesting thing I've heard lately is that it's possible that the peace accord could be finalized, and both parties to it might fly to Washington, D.C. before the State of the Union address, and the President of the United States may make mention of peace in the Sudan. And so that's the word back here is that the finalized peace deal could be made in the next week or within a week. And
of course, the thing is that the Sudan in the past has worked with Al Qaeda, and you know, once we have a closer relationship with the United States, why that relationship will be broken, hopefully forever, and then the Sudan will no longer be one of these countries that's backing terrorism throughout the world. So this would be good for the people of this nation, as well as certainly for the whole region there, because this radical form of Islam is not beneficial to anyone. It's not even to the people who really believe in it, because it's totally destructive to society, and they will simply kill people who don't go along with them. And I'm talking about fellow Muslims. If you're a Muslim and you won't go along with them, they'll simply kill you. This radical form of Islam is one of the most frightening things in the world today. And this certainly suggests that the government of the Sudan is willing to turn away from that.
It appears that this government is more moderate than previous ones, and that they do intend to be pro-American, and they do intend to extend religious freedom to Christians and to non-Muslims, and as a sign of that, they say that Islamic law will be lifted in Khartoum, and there will be religious freedom in the capital city.
And I think it's important for people to understand that up until recently, they've had Sharia law there, and that means that the wives have had no rights at all, and you know, they have to wear their veils, and they stole women to death for adultery, and they cut off hands and feet, and this is what Sharia law is really all about. And suddenly we're seeing a nation saying, we're going to do away with Sharia law. You don't have to be a Muslim. We won't kill you if you're not a Muslim. In fact, we'll even let you come and work in our government. This is really one of the most exciting stories and heartwarming stories I've heard in a long time.
Yes, and it's hopefully this group in Midland, Texas, they have their sights set on other areas of the world where Christians have been persecuted. I know they're trying to meet with the North Korean embassy, and they're making the persecution of Christians in Korea an issue that they're going to work on, and use their influence as George Bush's hometown to do some good.
And the whole story is really so incredible, if you stop and think of it. I mean, what kind of a group of ministers and alliance in Midland, Texas, what influence could they have on world politics? And yet I think we've already seen that they've had an introductory relationship. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the church all across America was as committed to human rights and to doing away with Christian persecution as the people there in Midland, Texas?
That's true. I think, yeah, that if Christians nationwide were as determined as the Christians in George Bush's hometown, the impact on the world would be massive. And there's nothing stopping Christians from doing what the Christians in Texas have done. They could put pressure on their representatives and the politicians that come out of their hometowns, and put pressure on them to work towards peace in areas where persecution is happening. So I think that, yeah, there are lessons to be learned from this group in Midland, Texas, that, you know, Christians could apply in their own hometowns and own areas.
All right, fine. Well, when we get back here, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd like your thoughts on this story.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it's really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we just want to mention a couple of the other items we carry here at Radio Liberty. And we, of course, carry something called Phenopoly. It's a board game. It's played like Monopoly, but it's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And this is a wonderful means of changing a child's life. If they can't read and they can't spell and they can't pronounce words, then it's going to influence their whole life. And the children who go to government schools today are deliberately being dumbed down. Now, even Governor Davis talked about how important it was here in California to have phonics in the schools. He said the right things, but of course nothing got accomplished, because there's an organized effort to keep your kids from beginning to able to read properly and use their minds correctly as God intended. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order a Phonopoly program. Most of these are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. We put out an awful lot of them, and so many people are so grateful for Phonopoly. We also carry something called Miracle 2 soap products. And Miracle 2 soap products, certainly many people make a lot of claims for them. We can't make any claims. We can only tell you that people who use them tell us that it'll help their rashes or it'll help their acne. And we have people who take this because it helps their digestive tract. If you'd like to know more about the Miracle 2 soap products, go to our website at radioliberty.com. Or talk to somebody who's using them, or better still, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for an introductory a set of the various products. They're discounted, and you can get the soap and the moisturizing soap, which I use, the gel, which I use, the lotion, and the neutralizer, which I use. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The product Miracle 2 soap products, and I think if you try them, you won't want to be without them. At least, we certainly wouldn't. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is George Neumauer, and he writes for the American Spectator. And right now, we have with us on the line from Monterey, Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I had a question concerning. I wanted to know, have you ever heard of Dr. Andrew Wingate, I think it is, talk about what you're talking about?
I really haven't. Have you ever heard about him, George?
No, I haven't.
All right. What does this doctor talk about?
Well, I know he's a Roman, old Roman Catholic, I think, pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And
he would be a priest then.
A priest, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. And he talks about a lot of that. In fact, his website is called the Trumpeter's Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious if you ever heard of
I'm really not acquainted with them. There are many people, Daniel, who've been very concerned about what's happening, not only in the Sudan, but of course to the Christians in Burma, who have been persecuted there, the Christians living in Indonesia, the Christians living in China, the Christians living in North Korea. Christians are being persecuted throughout the world. Right. And our government's not doing a thing about it. In fact, we're rewarding, in many instances, the people who are persecuting the Christians. In this instance, however, in the Sudan, why the administration has taken, I think, a very, very a positive position, and we're certainly to be congratulated for it. The significance of the story we're talking about is the fact that a group of people in Midland, Texas, where George Bush came from, and this is a ministerial alliance with the support of the people of that community, have had an impact, and they've actually had conferences with the representatives of the Sudanese government and of the rebels, and a peace accord has been written. Do you have anything else you want to say, Daniel?
It was the reason I was asking that is because you don't hear enough people talking about what you're talking about, and it's just like it's real quiet.
Well, that's why you want to keep listening to Radio Liberty and get all of your friends listening here as well.
I tell everybody about it because it's such a good station, and it just concerns me that, you know, you don't hear enough of this, and you do try to tell people about it, and, you know, some people turn a deaf ear to you and or think, you know, you're just fanatic, and, you know, it's just, but once that you do get some of these people to listen, you know, they start to wake up a little bit. And
how would you respond to what Daniel is saying, George?
Well, I think it's true that there has been great inattention to Christian persecution abroad. And I think that accounts, I think our secular media, which doesn't take Christian persecution very seriously, has generally neglected the plight of the Sudanese Christians. But because we have a president who takes Christian persecution seriously, a great advance is being made in that country. And I think when a peace accord is reached, then suddenly the media will start talking about this matter and will start reporting on what has been happening in the Sudan that's positive.
Okay, Daniel, anything else you want to say?
No, that's about it. Other than that, what worried me too or bothered me too is when, you know, the president, and I'm sure you heard him say it, he said that, like, you know, the Muslim religion was a peaceful religion.
Well, I think that he was probably reading a prepared script.
Yeah.
I don't think he really believes that. At least I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, I hope not.
All right, thanks very much, Daniel. And our telephone number, of course, is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there and you have a question or comment on this story. Now, those of you who listen to Radio Liberty know that very often we're giving you bad news. Isn't it wonderful to be able to bring you good news for a change? And that's really why I wanted to share George Neumeyer's story with you this afternoon. And of course, it's in the December-January issue of the American Spectator. Does that come out every other month now, George?
It comes out 10 times a year. There are two combined issues, one December-January, the other is July-August. Other than that, it's a monthly magazine.
All right, fine. Would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about the magazine and why they might want to subscribe to it?
Well, it's it's worth subscribing to because it contains a lot of articles on issues that don't get much attention from the mainstream media. So it's a valuable source of alternative news and alternative commentary. It's been doing this. It's been a kind of a battering ram against liberalism in the country for over 35 years, and it continues to serve that important role in the nation's capital.
Well, now, having talked to you on several occasions, I have a feeling that you're approaching your job and your view from a Christian point of view. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, I approach these issues from a Judeo-Christian philosophy, political and moral philosophy, and I certainly analyze the news in light of those principles.
Well, don't you sort of feel that you're a little out of place within the media today, which is so violently anti-Judeo-Christian in every manner? And, I mean, we've seen what they did as far as Christianity during this last Christmas season. I mean, they took any mention of Christmas or of the birth of our Savior out of the media, certainly nothing on television of any significance, nothing on the major radio. In fact, even many of the traditional newspapers that would always tell the Christmas story in their editorial pages, they just bothered to, they just forgot to this year. It's almost as if they're trying to erase every remnant and thought of Christianity from the minds of the American people.
Well, there certainly have been studies that indicate that journalists tend to be much more anti-religious than the average American. I think the percentage of journalists who are actually practicing some religion is well below 40%. I think it's probably something like 30%. So you have about a media that's about 70% secular and fairly anti-religious. And I think that explains why the coverage is so slanted towards secularism and against the kind of religious traditions of this country.
You know, going along with that thought, I subscribe to the Humanist magazine, and even though I don't agree with their conclusions, I always like to know what the enemy is thinking. They had an article in the latest issue, January issue of the Humanist, talking about Judge Roy Moore and the Ten Commandments monument there in Mobile, Alabama, and they, of course, ridiculed the idea that he had a right to display the monument. And then they talked about a CNN USA Today poll that showed that 77% of the American people agreed with George Moore. They totally disagreed with the media. They totally disagreed with the courts. They disagreed with everything they were being told. And so there really are an awful lot of good people out there across America. Of course, the humanists thought that was just ridiculous, that these people didn't want to go along with their agenda, which is the destruction of Christianity, which, because that's what the humanists are, Christianity and Judaism. And really, you know, it was the most amazing thing to read their statistic, which verifies what I have always really believed, and that is there are an awful lot of good people in America. They just need the leadership, the sort of leadership they have in Midland, Texas.
Yeah, the American media and the American political class do not necessarily reflect the views and values of the American people. The elite, this political and media elite, are far, far to the left, I would say, of the American people.
And don't you think that in many respects it is the people who control the media, every bit as much as it is the journalists who write for them, that really, of course, set the tone? Because, you know, the people who control the media determine who they're going to hire. They don't necessarily have to tell them what to write. They know what they're going to write because you hire a liberal knowing he's going to write from a liberal point of view.
Right.
If you were going to wanted to get out a Christian or Judeo-Christian point of view, you would hire somebody from that perspective.
Right.
And these people just never get jobs. In fact, the thing that brought this to mind was the fact that here you are approaching things from a Judeo-Christian point of view. And, you know, as I read the article, I could tell where your heart was. And it was just so gratifying to see at least there was one writer out there who was saying it as it was, rather than as the humanists and the people who control the New York Times and the Washington Post and U.S. News and World Report and USA Today and CNN, the world that they'd like us to see.
Right. It's I think they analyze the news from such a secularist point of view that conservative, that religious Americans really never get a fair shake. And what I was trying to do with this article about the Midland Christians was to take what they're doing seriously and take their commitment to prayer and their commitment to evangelization seriously, and also try to trace that spiritual activity is actually having an impact on the world.
And when I finished reading the article, I just felt good for a change. Sort of a nice change, especially since I just came out of surgery myself, and it's been sort of a difficult time for me. But your story was a heartwarming story. Is this posted on the net, or are people going to have to buy the American Spectator to get it?
They can go to spectator.org, and they can see the article. That article from the December-January issue is available on our website.
That's spectator.org, www.spectator.org. And of course, to read George's article. And maybe you'll make you feel better as well if you're out there in the listening audience and you read it and you realize that here is a group of Christians who set out to do something and really with nothing behind them but faith and prayer. They have played a part. How big a part, we may never know, but I believe they played a significant part in one of the great events of this last 20 or 30 years, ending a 20-year war that has resulted in so much tragedy for the people of both the South and the North of the Sudan. Well, do you see the same thing happen elsewhere? Now, you mentioned that the ministers there in Middleton, Texas, now are beginning to eye what's going on in Korea.
They are. They're, I think, planning to make many more visits to the Washington, D.C. Embassies, and not only North Korea, but also China. I think the persecution of Christians in China will be another issue of concern to this community. And I wouldn't, given their success on the issue of Sudanese peace, they can't be counted out of any significant involvement in advancing peace in countries like China and North Korea.
Well, you know, one of the most amazing things to me, George, is that the average American just cannot think anymore. I mean, who is it who is one of the major financiers of the North Korean government? Why, the United States government. We're giving them food, massive amounts of food, because we don't want the people to starve, but the food isn't going to the people, it's going to the army to keep the ruthless dictatorship in power. And we're building them generating facilities for electricity and supplying the oil free of charge, because, of course, we don't want the people to go without electricity. But do you think this is going to the people? We are maintaining this ruthless tyranny, and we've done this for a number of years, and the American people are so blind they can't see. And the same thing, of course, is true in communist China. They would not have the prosperity they're having now without the infusion of money from the West and technology from the West, and the West actually encouraging our great corporations to move over there, to give them special tax advantages, to give them a situation where they can plant their car factories over there, and if they're ever nationalized, why, we have to pay the companies back. So these companies have absolutely nothing to lose. But why are we financing a ruthless communist dictatorship that's persecuting Christians? Why doesn't anybody ever ask these questions, George?
Well, I certainly think that we should continue to resist atheistic communism as much as we've been resisting and trying to fight radical Islam. I think both of these areas are real threats to Western civilization, and they should be treated with, I would say, the same amount of attention. We shouldn't let our war on Islamic terrorism blind us to the dangers that continue to exist from Chinese communism. Which is just as anti-Western and as dangerous to America's freedoms as radical Islam.
And I agree with you totally. In fact, I fear that we're creating the best enemy money can buy, because certainly there is no question in my mind that the Chinese communists already have the missile technology and the nuclear technology to launch nuclear weapons in the United States. And we've supplied it for them. And I don't believe that Al-Qaeda will ever have that capacity. I think that this is something they're using to frighten the American people. But the real enemy, which is communist China, which is intent upon eventually dominating the world, we're doing everything we can to create the best enemy money can buy. And the American people have to get this message. Are they getting that through some of the articles there in the American Spectator?
We have done a number of articles on China and certainly the Clinton administration's unseemly connections to the Chinese government and the outrageous liberties they extended to Chinese communists when they visited the United States, and the outrageous technology and military transfers that the Clinton administration made to the Chinese communists.
But of course, everybody points to
all that was documented in the American Spectator.
But of course, everybody points to the Democrats, and certainly I think that that's certainly well justified to point out what Bill Clinton did. But of course, right after Tiananmen Square, after the slaughter of the people there, whose only crime was they wanted to be free. Why, George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father, extended most favored nation treaty status to the Chinese communists as a reward. And there is no other explanation for what he did, and certainly the policies of the current administration, the current Republican administration, have certainly not done anything at all to discourage the transfer of technology and wealth to the Chinese communists. So I don't like, and I know that certainly the American Spectators, with so many so-called conservative magazines, only wants to point out how bad the Democrats are. I think that both political parties bear full responsibility for creating the best enemy money could buy. How would you comment on
that? Yeah, we're trying to keep the Republicans honest too, and we recognize that there have been some country club Republicans who have been blind to the human rights abuses in China, and I certainly feel that in some of our Republican leaders are putting economics over morality, and I think that's basically a corrupt way of approaching the issue of Chinese communism. We have to recognize that this is not a regime that we should be doing business with. We should certainly keep in mind the Chinese people, and we should try to help the Chinese people, but we shouldn't be helping their Chinese oppressors in the Beijing government.
I agree with you totally. Do you have a parting thought? We're just about out of time, George.
Well, I just encourage your listeners to consider a subscription to The Spectator and visit our website, which is a daily website. We update our webpage on a daily basis, and it's often a source of useful news and commentary.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. Our guest today has been George Neutmeyer, and we've enjoyed talking about his article on Midland, Texas, the Christians of Midland, Texas, who really made a difference. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention we've got some great videotapes. We've got something called the Amazing Clips, and we talk about concentration camps. Could these really be existing in America? Well, they're just big empty camps being kept by our government for some reason. They're closing down military camps, but they're keeping these camps. Of course, the barbed wire faces inside to keep people in, not to keep people out. If you want to get one of the most amazing series of videos we have, it's called Amazing Clips. Actually, there are three separate videos. You'll hear the leader of the Protestant movement in America today saying, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. You don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. And you'll actually see these concentration camps. You'll see sessions of the Senate investigation where they were actually talking about the concentration camps, and where Senator Inouye kept interrupting Congressman Jack Brooks when he kept trying to bring out the fact that there was a plan to suspend our Constitution and take away our freedom. You'll hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, who headed the House Banking Committee for many years, saying, yes, there was only one person who really got close to the truth in those hearings, and that was Congressman Jack Brooks. But they kept interrupting him. But the truth of the matter is, there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency and terrorism to arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And get the amazing clips. This is one of the greatest tape sets that we have. Make it available. And then, of course, we have so many other tape sets that will give you various aspects of what's going on. The shocker is excellent as well. But the amazing clips for what we're talking about will give you information you won't get elsewhere to help you reach others with an understanding of the danger we face in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we, of course, hope that many of you out there will give serious thought to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. And as you know, my dream is to get our evening program on shortwave as well, so that we would have at least 4 hours of shortwave reaching out across America on a regular basis, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us get the truth out. This is all I can do, is to reach people, and then you have to reach others. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I want to mention that Dave Emery is going to be speaking at the Loudon Nelson Center on the 17th of January. I believe that's this weekend. It's Saturday, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock in the evening at the Loudon Nelson Center. Dave Emery, that's tomorrow evening. Dave Emery is a fascinating speaker. We have him as a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty. I always enjoy him. I'm sure you will enjoy him as well. So if you'd like to, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Loudon Nelson Center, out across America, if you'd like to get information on Dave Emery, why, we're going to, you can call and order the two tapes. Actually, we've got two-hour tapes with him, and we'll be putting together a four-tape set on the wisdom of David Emery. And then, of course, we would invite many of our listeners to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can pull down our news programs, our live programs, 5 hours every day. And then, of course, you can pull down our archives if you have any more time. But certainly the information is there. What we want you to do is get that information to verify it, the fact that it's true, and then help us to get the information out to your friends across America, because we're called to notify others. You and I are not going to change what's going to happen. Our job, of course, is to be faithful to the Lord and to be the watchman on the wall, as described in Ezekiel 33. So I hope you'll join us in this epic struggle. We hope many of you will want to get the new video we carry, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, which is the best two-hour video going into not only the geopolitical, but the spiritual forces working behind the scenes, and the secret societies, and the influence of Masonry, and the Illuminati on the wars of this last century, and then the plan for the Third World War, which, of course, is coming. So that's Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. And then we have another excellent video. It's called Diapracts in the Church, and it tells about the movement that's sweeping America today, the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church. But they see they've slightly changed the message of Christianity, just a little bit, and they've changed the music of Christianity, just a little bit at first. But as time goes by, it changes more and more, and you have no idea what's happening, because they're using diapracts. And until you understand, this is a technique that they are using intentionally to alter the Christian message. You can't understand what's going on. So the videos we want you to get by calling 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, would be Megiddo, Diapracts in the Church. And then, of course, if you have not seen my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, either that or get the book and the video and the audio tape, the special for $29.95. It's the best deal you'll ever get. And after watching it, you'll never look at the world with the same eyes again. And then, of course, the video Iraq, the Untold Story, the story of all the wars of the last century and how they were all contrived, including this one that was planned long before George Bush ever became the President of the United States. And we give you their documentation, tell you where to go on their websites, where they tell you in 1998 how they were already planning on the attack on Saddam Hussein. Not on Osama bin Laden, but on Saddam Hussein. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our ministers. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until a Monday when we'll be back with you, may the Lord be with you. And remember our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.